Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're looking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and take us into the truth and the depth of this, your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be picking up here in the last part of Galatians chapter 4. We hadn't quite got through with it, so we might as well finish it up and see where we'll go from there. We're going to start here with verse 16. He says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondsmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondswoman, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which sayings are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gathereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his word. All right. You know, we're living in a day and time to where we parallel so much of what we are reading here and studying in this book of Galatians. Our time is parallel with them. And we're way into it. We are way into our last days. And we all need to be spending more time with the Lord Jesus Christ than we are. You know, when we really and truly become that born-again child of the living God, our time is no longer our own. Our life is really not our own. Our life belongs to Him. And that's where everything should be aimed at. Everything that we do, our speech and all, should all be pointed toward His kingdom and lifting Him up and spreading His word. Because it's this word that will give you and I life if we follow it. And if we don't, it's going to bring death. It's going to bring that separation from God. And we're going to wind up in places we ain't going to want to be for eternity. But there's so many out there just in this day and time, they're not interested in anything that pertains to the gospel at all. And when we look around, we can see it. Because this morning, coming here to church, how many churches did you pass, actually? How many cars is that? Our neighbor right up here on 60. When I come in church this morning, had two cars. So what was that? The one right up the road from it, which is a black church, they average about three cars. Mankind just don't want to get out anymore and get into the house of God. They've all got too busy, too much on their mind. And we're serving right now, we're living among, actually, three generations. And I'm worried about all three of them. We know we're losing two of them. And that third one ain't far. There's a lot of them now today that are going backwards instead of going forward. Now, and it's not because of what Paul was on these in a way, but then in a way it is. You take care, he's telling them here in this 16th verse. He says, I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. He knows that they are looking at him as being an opponent. And these are churches that he established. Laid the foundation and all for. And now they're turning against him. Why? Because of mankind's ways and these Judaizers that's following him. Those Judaizers that have been following him, trying to get them back in under the law, and they are actually turning this congregation against Paul. And he's letting them know that. And it was all because he was teaching them the truth when the Judaizers was trying to take them right back in under the law, put them right back in bondage. We're getting the same thing done to us today. Now, they're not doing it with the same thing that they were, because they was using circumcision to get it done. But today, they're actually using sin. They're telling you, you can't live without sin. I've heard that so much this last several days that I've been staying in on account of the weather. These Christian stations I've been getting, you'd be surprised what's coming over them, what's being put out. It's supposed to be leading people to heaven. I don't know how many times I've heard that. You can't live without sin in your life. Everybody just got to sin. No. Not according to God's word, you don't. According to God's word, if you got sin in your life, when you step out of this life, you ain't going to make heaven your home. But that's where your big churches are. Because that's what man wants. Man don't want the truth. He don't want to know, I can't go out here and lie and steal and cheat. Can't go out here and go out on my wife and all of this, that, and the other. I don't want to hear that. Sit back and get my ears tickled. Now, I can still make heaven my home. No. Can't. But that's what's being taught. He goes on here now in 17, he says, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. He's using that zealous affect you. In other words, what he's actually saying is these Judaizers, as he calls it, kind of wooing them, trying to take over. You know? But they're not doing it really to help them. They're doing it to get them away from Paul. And that's what it's all about. In fact, you know, Paul, in a way, in his calling them, he calls them heretics. somebody that is pretending to be something they're not, and lead them down the same pathway. That was exactly what they were doing. And that's what a lot of them are doing today. All right, now, here in 18. He says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. It's good to be sought after, good for people to want you. Just as we want. We want to see people come in here. We want to see mankind come in here. But we want to see them come in here for the proper and right reason, to hear the word of Almighty God. And to hear it like it is written, and not what somebody wants to make of it. Now, 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He's letting them know that he's really concerned for them. And Paul goes on to tell them that they, to him, are as children. He's like a parent to them. He calls it travail. In other words, he's in sorrow for them. He's saddened by the way they are acting and the things they are doing and what they are picking up on and what they're walking away from. 20. He says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt. You know, Paul, that's just another way of him saying that he's kind of put out with them. He's perplexed with them. Because of the way they are acting. And it hurts Paul. Paul was another one that had suffered greatly for the gospel. A lot of people don't really know Paul, even after reading a lot of the New Testament. They still don't really realize, because they don't take it in, to the kind of man Paul really turned out to be. He started out, Paul wasn't a good man, no. He was against the church. He was against anyone that would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He was taken back from being jailed and everything. But once he came and met the Lord Jesus Christ, a day on the road to Damascus, his life really changed, just as yours and mine are supposed to change. We got too many out there today sitting in church pews where their life has never changed at all. No change about them. Yet, oh, they're fine. They're doing good. Because somebody's telling them they are, deceiving them. But their life has never changed. My life has drastically changed. And it's changing every day. Every day. And I'm getting to the point that I'd just soon leave this life and go on to be with him. But I know right now I'm needed here. Maybe not in this church. I don't know. I don't know where God will end up with me. But I know I'm needed here to help spread His gospel, His word, to get it out to family, to friends, people that I know, people that I come in contact with, whether it's in church or out of church, just like you are. You're to spread this gospel if you're a child of God. We're all ministers. Now, you may not be a pastor because that's not your calling, but it don't mean that you're not a minister of the gospel, because we, all the children of God, are ministers. We just have different callings. But you are to spread this word and to share it with others. And when you don't, then that's sin. You say, well, I don't commit sin. I don't commit adultery. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. No. Or are you doing what the word tells you to do? Because if you're not, that's sin. When we don't do what the word tells us to do, it's sin. We don't think about things that way, do we? Now, he was letting them know that he was really disturbed with them because of the things they were doing, because they was walking away. He was following these Judaizers and walking away and turning against Paul. And that's what he was talking about there. Now in 21, he says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondsmaid, the other by a free woman. Well, we know about both of those, because we know that Isaac was the promised child. He's the one that God promised Abraham that his wife Sarah would have. Ishmael was by Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden. Because Abraham got a little anxious, him and Sarah both. In fact, I think Sarah was the first when you really read that story. Because she hadn't conceived just right at more or less the moment that God told them she was going to. Went a few years down the road. She hadn't conceived yet. So it was her idea for Abraham to take her handmaiden and have a baby through her. She figured she could get one that way. That wasn't what God promised. In fact, that caused another wrong that we're still dealing with today. We're dealing with that wrong today. Huh? We've got a whole country full of them. Most people don't realize that. That's what I'm saying. They don't really read God's word and study it to get an understanding of what it says and what it's dealing with. This bonds woman he's talking about here is Hagar. And he'll tell us that here in just a minute. But, see, she was also known as Mount Sinai. But her son, Ishmael, actually, was the founder of the religion we have today.
of Israel, which we're coming from.
And we're dealing with that greatly today. The whole world is dealing with that. And some of them not so good, because they're overrunning a whole lot of countries right now. They're taking over a lot of countries. And eventually, that's exactly what's going to head up this one world government. All right, now, here in 23, he says, but he who was of the bondswoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. We know that Ishmael was born out of wedlock, something Abraham really should never have done, but he did. But God forgave him for it. And we also know that Isaac was born by promise, that God opened Sarah's womb for her to conceive, because she had been barren all her life. Now she was way up in years, and God opened the womb for her to become pregnant. Now, 24, he says, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gathereth to bondage, which is Hagar. I told you he'd be telling you here in a minute. No. We know that this allegory goes, well, way beyond certain surface parts of the historical accounts of things. And it does so it can draw out deeper meanings for us, so that we can really see and understand things as they are today. Now, 25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Now, for that verse, I'm going to give you what my Bible's got on its footnotes about that verse, 25. It says, four further explains the links between Hagar and Sinai. Hagar is Mount Sinai, means that Hagar stands for Mount Sinai. Hagar answers or corresponds to the then current Jerusalem. And Paul viewed Hagar and Judaism in the same way, whereas Hagar and her offspring were in social bondage, so Judaism and her adherents were in spiritual slavery to the law. And we know that to be a fact, and that still in Israel today, Israel is still in bondage to the law, because they still are living under the law. Most of Israel has not accepted Jesus as yet. Now, yes, we do have a lot of them that have. But as a nation, it has never repented and has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior or as their Messiah. And they still are trying to live by and under the law to this day. Now, we as the church here, we send to two Jewish organizations. We send help to them. One is the Jewish Voice. That's where that cover come from. I showed you. And I had gotten. And they send me a calendar or something every now and then. I get correspondence from them, thanking me for what we send to them. Because they are an organization that is for the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to reach their own people with the gospel as it is written, as it should be. And they have got a rabbi on. He's on television. I listen to him all the time. And he is good. And he'll sure give it to you like it is. Now, the other one is called the International Jewish Belief. And the reason that we support them like we do is because they both do teach God's Word. And they teach it as it's written. And they stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are out there reaching the senior people there in Israel that don't have any home. You'd be surprised how many seniors right now in Israel don't have a home either. Because that country is being tore up every day. And the children. And that's what both of these are reaching out to. Is to the seniors and to the children there in Israel. And we support them. And then we are supporting here in our own country two children's hospitals. I send to them every month. St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, and Shriners Hospital here in Louisville. Because if you've got a child that's got some kind of illness, you can send them there. You're never billed. They don't even send you a bill. It's all taken care of by people that will support them. So we support them. And it's not even a whole lot. Because you see, when you've got more people supporting things, it don't take a whole lot from each. And then we are supporting two Native American schools on two different Indian reservations. Because they don't have food and a lot of things. But that's what this ministry is doing right now, to bring you up to date on what all we do accomplish. And I would like to do more. It's going to take more people in here. With a little more income coming in than what we've got in order to do it, especially during the winter months. Our light bill has jumped from $28 and $32 a month to this month is 110. That's what that furnace will do to you back there. Electric wise, that ain't what it's doing to us out there. So you take this month and next month, January, February, going to cost us. But God's been good to us, and even through last year and all, we still gave monthly. Never did have to quit, and I don't think we're going to have to this year. Everything's in God's hands. But that's where we stand right now. So everybody knows. But Paul was having problems, you see, out of the churches in that day and time, just like we are today. From within the churches itself. And that's where a lot of ours is coming from. There was a time right here in Meade County that any of these churches on a Sunday, you would have had trouble finding a seat. In fact, a lot of them you'd have had to have stood up if you got there late. You wouldn't have got a seat. And today, look at them. 5 and 6 in each one. Oh, we've got a few around that's got some more, yes. But they're tickling ears. They're not preaching truth. That's why they got them. Because mankind don't want to hear the truth no more. All right. Verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. You know, Christianity, being a child of God, is represented by Jerusalem from above. We know that's where it comes from. It comes from that heavenly city. One is still in heaven, not the one here on earth. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not, for the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. That barren woman in Christianity is Christianity. And we know that we don't have as many Christians today as what the world's got out there. We know that. We're seeing it every service time. They're in every service meeting. And as we talk to people we talk to, you don't have to talk to someone very long to know that they're not a child of God. You only have to hear a few words out of them. And some of them will surprise you. I had to get a little great-granddaughter straightened out. Because I had to tattle on her. Because I guess she thought it was big to use words with me and around me that were strictly improper. So I let and let her grandma know I didn't appreciate it and didn't want it happening no more. But this is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to let people know when things are not done rightly and when they are not doing the right thing. Let them know that's wrong. Now, you can do it in the right way and the wrong way. But you let them know. Don't keep committing adultery. That's wrong. Now, you may push them away from you, but you've done what the Word has told you to do. You've let them know you're living a lie. You're living wrong. You're living in sin. But you do it with love, and you continue praying for them. Pray that God, through the Holy Spirit, will work with them and turn them from the evil way and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to His light. Because, you know, Jesus is our light. He's the light to our feet. He lights our pathway to lead us rightly and to the right place. Now, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We are the children of promise. Because, you see, Isaac was born in fulfillment of a promise. He was the promised child. And when you and I turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and we bring Him into our lives and we begin to live by the Word of Almighty God, then we become His children by promise, because He has promised us that. Anyone that will turn and go and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and gets forgiveness for their sins, you become a child of promise. Because that is what has been done. We have been promised that. You see, there's a whole lot we don't think about when we read God's Word. Now, verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. We know that that's so, because as soon as you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a lot of family, a lot of friends that will turn against you. Want nothing else to do with you. They don't want you around. They'll have family meetings. They'd just assume you wasn't there. And you'll find that there'll be a lot of times, if you're there, it wasn't by invitation. You just happened to be there. Because 9 times out of 10, you didn't even know what was going on. I know I've walked into a lot of them in my own family. I'd just go visit to see how they were doing and go in on a meeting that had been called. But I wasn't invited. We all live that way when we are born of the Spirit. All right, these next two verses we're going to close. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. He's letting us know here, right here, that these of the world out here are not going to be going with those that are the children of God. They're going to be cast out. They're going to, when they stand there, they're going to hear, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you." Not going to hear, "Good and well done, thy faithful servant, enter into thy rest." They're going to be cast in, cast into hell. That's exactly what's going to happen. Until that great day of the white throne judgment. And then they're going to be cast somewhere where they really ain't going to want to be. And with 31, this is the last verse. "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondswoman, but of the free." And that's what I'm hoping for each and every one of us, that none of us are of that bondswoman, that we are all born again children of God, all making heaven our home and spreading this gospel everywhere we can to see things grow. I want to see this church stay open. But we're going to have to work at it, or it's not going to. But we're really going to have to really, really work. All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to study your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, for the saints, wherever they are in the world, Father, we know they walk in dangerous places today. It can even mean imprisonment and death for them. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them, because we know as of this day and time, Father, they have very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, a land that turned its back upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and has walked so far away from him, taking him out of every place he was in, not even wanting his name used in prayer. Father, help us. Help us to replace those in our government, Father, that are not right, that are standing against the church and standing against Jesus. And help us to put in their place ones that will work for the church, for Jesus. Work with us to help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, for Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie. Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know the need there, Father. That little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. All these churches, Father, make them lighthouses to the community where they stand. But not only lighthouses, Father, make them places of refuge, filled with the Holy Spirit, to where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my young friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombello, her mother, for Sue and David, for Kelly Smith, for Karen, Father, these all stand in need of a touch of the healing hand of Jesus on their lives. Touch them, Father, in mighty and great ways. Bring about the healing that is needed. And we ask all of this, Father, this morning, in Jesus' name. And Father, Dennis, James, and myself, and my wife, Father, our families, we ask the Holy Spirit to work with each and every family. Work with those that are walking in ways of the world. Change them in their lives, Father. Bring them into being your children so that none be lost and all find salvation and make heaven their home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God bless. All right, remember, we're not going to have any services tonight. We're expecting black ice. We're done told it's going to be freezing here. And we have a mist of rain. And everything is really wet. So, but remember, God willing, come Thursday evening, we can all be together again. So until then, hold on to God, He'll hold on to you. Keep us in your prayer, we'll keep you in ours. Bye-bye now.